are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptos, C70 at the bat with me for, you know, it's been a while since Alan and I have done this, you know, by ourselves. I'm glad to have Ellen Medlock of currently of the Redbird Daily and a Medlock one. But I guess, Alan, we probably, before we get too far into this, we can talk about the fact that you and your compatriots over there at the Redbird Daily are going to come over and join me over here at the Conclave.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We've kind of kept it under wraps here for the past few weeks, or I guess it would be weeks since the comings and goings of Blogger Day. But yeah, we've decided to do that and kind of branch out a little bit more, and I think we're going to make the Conclave. I think we're going to really grow it. And I think we're all moving in the right direction.
Yep, I'm excited about it. I know we're going to, through the month of July, re-release the top 30 that prospects that Colin did over at the Conclave with, and get him. I think he's going to be doing a mid-season re-ranking after that run, so that's going to be interesting. And then in August, I'm going to rerun August through in September. I'm going to rerun the top 100 Cardinals that y'all did, maybe with a few, you know, additions or whatever that need to be made for current players or anything that's happened to those players since. But, so that's going to be fun. And then, you know, as the, you know, a little cross promotion over the season, and at the end of the season, these guys could come over and start writing some different blogs. I know Rusty and Alan have got they're going to have the Bird Law podcast, or Adam. I'm sorry. I'm Rusty and Adam.
That's
Alan.
All right.
Alan is going to have Red Dirt, Red Bird, which will be fun. Colin is taking over the Prospect Preacher minor blog that we've had for quite some time, but never had anybody really to fill it fully. Josh Gilliam has written some over there recently. And then Graham, Jacoby, and Austin Lamb still working on their blog titles, but looking forward to having them join us as well. So should be fun. But as for right now, Alan's still over at the Daily, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes. And we have spent, well, we spent about half an hour before we even get started recording this show talking about how this season, how these games are going. The Cardinals drop one to the Braves, 5-1, a game that was better than the final score indicated. It kind of got away from them late. Alan, you know, over the last couple of weeks, and of course we missed you last week, but over the last couple of weeks, it's tough to really get a grip. We keep thinking we've got a grip on this team, and then they go out and surprise us. You know, they play so badly against the 500 teams, and they kind of, you know, did okay, and then they lose, you know, 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, and then they lose 2 to the Brewers, and they come back, win those 2, win 2 out of 3against Cleveland, and now they drop the first one to the Braves. It's the roller coaster still continues.
True. I mean, it's no matter how well they play, you almost have to expect another lull soon. It's one of those to where, I don't know if I even have the words that to describe it, but even after you get off the mat in Milwaukee by winning the last two, split the series in a series that you thought, the wheels could be falling off rather quickly, to win those two, to come back and play the hottest team in baseball and win the first two games of that series, you could see game three going that way. You knew they weren't going to sweep Cleveland. And they even had their chances to do it. But you thought, okay, well, hopefully this doesn't spiral them down to another losing streak in a situation to where you almost feel like they have to win night in, night out, or they are going to go into they are going to go down the drain, per se. But they're just frustrating to watch. I thought like tonight they could really, I felt like they could have stepped on, Tehran's throat tonight in the first inning. You know, first two get on, nobody out. Next three, they have zero productivity to get somebody in. And that's one of those where you get in, you get a run in, you never know where, never know where it's going. But that's just the tale of this team. I would love to say it's the tale of 2018, but it's the tale of the last 3 years. I don't know. I know that we're going to get into some changes, you know, later on in the show and go that route. But, you know, just another frustrating loss, and you can never bank on them.
And that is true. I mean, every time we start thinking that this team's making this run, I mean, we look at, you know, like when Moose and I recorded last week, last Friday night, they had just lost those two games to Milwaukee. They were 6.5 games out. And you really had this feeling of doom and despair on you that, you know, this season's really starting to kind of slip away from them. And then you get that where they win four in a row against a first, you know, with the Brewers and the Indians, both first place teams, they kind of get crawled back in that, and you start thinking, okay, they're going to add to this team, or they can, you know, make a little bit of a run. And then a terrible night on Wednesday night against the Indians. I mean, just a game that the offense again didn't show up. And tonight, you know, they had two hits going into the ninth inning before they get a couple more. You know, it is. It's very hard to want to invest in this team, especially emotionally, because they continue to, you know, yank on your heartstrings. And, you know, anytime you think that, you think you got it, they come out and stomp your heart. And if not, then, you know, they kind of dust it back off, put it back in. And I don't know. And unfortunately, we're getting closer and closer to the time where you have to know about this team. Now, there are a lot of rumors mm-hmm. starting to float around. None of, you know, some of which are more reliable than others, of course. You know, there was a Twitter account out there with like 150 followers saying the Cardinals were getting close to trading for Manny Machado. I'm pretty sure that news isn't going to come from a Twitter account like that, but okay. But then you have the discussions that Ken Rosenthal talks about today in The Athletic. Let me pull that up for sure. I know that we've both had a chance to read it, but I want to really make sure I don't misstate things. But basically that the Cardinals have had increased interest, renewed interest may be the wording that gets used, in Mike Moustakas, with the idea that they might then turn around and trade Jose Martinez to the Twins or somebody like that, let Carpenter play first, or they could have Carpenter play second, and figure out what to do with Colton Wong, who's struggles at the plate continue. You're not a fan of this.
Of
the Moustakas thing.
I'm a fan of the Moustakas deal. Oh yeah. The reason I say that, and I don't even know if it's necessarily it's tough to arguably send away your best hitter, and I'm not sure that's even what it would take. And like I said, with these signs, you could link up certain names with Cardinals, certain players with the Cardinals organization in any trade, just because that's a low hanging fruit. If Donaldson was healthy, we'd all be over that. I'd be all over that right now. Mm-hmm. So any third baseman, which is the spot where they can improve, or where, you know, Carpenter's flexibility can send him somewhere else. Long way around this, they're going to be linked to them. I'm in the part now to where I completely think that this roster needs disruption of some sort. You know, we're 3 years into it, and this is just the ebbs and flows of the team, and there's it doesn't feel like there's urgency until you get into a Milwaukee type series and you win the last two, and then you kind of feel like, okay, the blood's pumping a little bit. Then you come out tonight and have two hits off a guy that, in theory, you could have knocked out in probably the first inning. And I know that's saying a lot. If anybody didn't watch the game, they had a chance where, you have to score a run. You know, first and second, get nobody out in the first. You have to score a run. You have to get a run across in that inning. I don't think the drop-off between a Martinez to a Moustakas is as severe as some may think. And you got to think, Moustakas is an all-star. He had 40-plus home runs last year, and I understand he didn't have the interest but in the offseason, but a lot of factors could have played for that. We didn't think Jose Martinez was going to be the starting first baseman on this team. And that a lot of people didn't, and including myself, didn't think that until midway through spring, that he was going to be the fifth infielder, that he was going to play a little bit of the corner outfield spots, and then fill in at first a little bit, and we thought it would be Moustakas. We thought it would be, I've got his baseball reference page up like he was saying it, but we thought it would be Carpenter at first, and we thought it would be Jerko at third, then they would find at bats for Martinez. Well, now, you know, he is arguably your best hitter, but he is killing you at first base. And it kind of runs into, there's going to have to be sacrificial players on this roster if they're going to improve. And it may not even be necessarily to improve. It just needs a shake up because the status quo isn't working.
Yeah. And we've talked so much about that this year, that this thing needs a kick in the pants, some sort of shakeup, some sort of something. It is difficult to necessarily know what that is, but it does feel more and more to me that you really kind of need to sell high on Jose Martinez. Again, you're right. There's a very good argument that he's the best hitter on this team this year, although the way Matt Carpenter's going right now, I don't know that that's the case currently. It's just the case overall. But you're right. That defense is tough. Tough to deal with. I mean, you watch him play first, you start wondering how do any calls go their way at first base. It seems like every time he's pulling off the base early, or, you know, and like he is, he's a game. And again, don't get me wrong. I know he's working as hard as he can over there. I know he's taking extra drills, and I know, you know, he's probably improved from what he was earlier in the year, but it's still not good. And it's just kind of such a basic place that you need to have competency at. And again, he's an older player, because it took him a long time to get up in the ranks. I think he can still be very valuable to somebody. I don't think he's going to stop hitting in the next year or two. I don't think that. But it just feels like this is a guy that needs to be a DH, and some team is going to want to do that. You know, what kind of value can you get for him? I don't know. I don't. But I think that, you know, it's kind of weird. After as much grief as we gave him last year, we're kind of hoping that Matt Carpenter can go back to first because it'll improve the defense. It's kind of weird. But I think that's where we're at. I think that's where we want to be. And again, I don't know that I'm overly excited about Moustakas. I mean, I have, you know, the idea, you know, you look at some of those numbers, and his numbers are significantly less than Martinez's. There was a reason he was kind of left out there all year long, all winter long, and signing so late, and he only signed a 1-year deal. I would think he would come cheap, but I just don't know that he's that improvement that we want to see. And I know that there is something to be said for just shaking things up, but it'd be kind of nice if they could improve while they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get it, and that's most of these moves that are the easiest link never happen anyway. You know, I think that the way that Rosenthal worded it, that there's obviously a lot. There is some. So there's a lot of smoke, and there's obviously a spark somewhere. to put in there. I don't know if that's just the easiest line to draw between the two teams, between, you know, Kansas City and St. Louis right now. Either. That may be some of it as well. But yeah, you know, and you know me, you and I exchange a lot of messages, you know, outside, you know, during the games and whatnot and during the day. And there's just a part of me to where I catch myself thinking, well, I hope they do something just because the roster's so dang boring. You know, I mean, I catch myself going, man, I just need something new to, I mean, I watch every night and I get upset every night, or I'm, you know, fired up. I'm one of those guys that, you know, day to day, I feel a little bit different about the club. I mean, I really do think they're a good ball club. They may be in the worst situation you could possibly be in, though, is they're a really good ball club where you almost wish you were a really bad or a great team, because that way you would probably have a better idea of what you really are.
Yeah, that is part of the problem, is they're good, but they're not really good.
Yeah, but middling.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, okay, you look at all these pieces, and yeah, all these pieces are good. They're interesting, they're good players, but it feels like there's something missing, or something different that needs to be done. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But, you know, well, and then I know what I want it to be. You know, we talked about this, was the fact that today in The Athletic also, I really should probably give a shout out to Joe Schwartz, who hooked me up with a subscription here, because he wanted me to go read his stuff, and I read Joe's stuff, but then I read everything else. But anyway, there was an article in the Athletic about Nolan Arredondo, who has basically said he's tired of losing. He likes Colorado. He wants to stay in Colorado. He wants to win in Colorado. But Colorado's not winning right now. Colorado's not likely to win next year, I don't think. It's kind of an argument. And he's a free agent at the end of 2019. It feels to me, I mean, one, he's a guy that you can legitimately give up big-time talent for. I mean, he's a guy, I don't want them to trade Jack Flaherty, because I'm much bigger on Jack Flaherty than I was, you know, at the beginning of the year after seeing what he does. But if they had to trade Jack Flaherty for Nolan Arredondo, I could deal with that a lot more. He's the kind of guy that you can go get. And again, you know, I'd have to look. I'm sure there's some Coors effect in that. But, you know, one, he can still hit. And two, he can play so much defense. I mean, that defense at the third base is just, I mean, I remember how exciting it was to get Scott Rowland, to get him in here, and you know, the bat was nice, but we wanted it, you saw plays every night that you knew. I mean, there were plays that, you know, you couldn't hit it to third base. To have that kind of defense there, hopefully not wasted by, you know, a great play and a throw that gets botched over at first base, it would be nice. Again, I can't imagine that the Rockies are actually going to trade him right now, and I don't think that the Cardinals, but if they wanted to do something big, if they wanted to do something revolutionary, if they wanted to do something that brought in a real core player, I mean, that's a move that they could at least try to do. I don't know if it could be done, but, you know, I'd rather see that than a Moustakas or a Donaldson, even if he was healthy. Even something, you'd probably rather that than a Manny Machado, just because of the fact that you have more control over him.
Another year. Yeah, no, I could completely agree. It's, I think that they have to do their due diligence on all these guys. And that's the thing, is you're holding your own. You're in the middle. You're in the middle of a playoff race. The thing is every National League team is kind of in the same boat right now. Mm-hmm. I think you could strike hot. I really do. And then you can support some of that young pitching you had, the one that you're going to keep, you know, in any situation that you don't have to give it up for Nolan. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and this would be this makes more sense just because of the control than any other move. And, you know, they're falling quickly, and what they need is pitching. They have another one, at least one, maybe two infielders that are close already. And I know it's not going to fill those shoes because he's an MVP essentially, you know, MVP numbers every year. So I agree with you. I mean, whenever I heard that today, I was like, I immediately thought the same thing. I was like, you know, that's a pretty big splash.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the things that I think they're at the point to where they have to do that. They have to, not necessarily this move. I do think they need to make a big one if they're really going to turn the team once a year and kind of change the identity a little bit. And it's you could see it going really both ways. Unfortunately, the situation to where I used to be like, hey, this would be the kind of move they need to make, and they could, and they will, and all that. But you know, there's a lot of complacency right now, and there's a lot of patience with this current lineup that I think that they may have been a little too patient with. But I think that it's run its course to where they can't think that there's going to be a major turnaround. I think there's enough rumblings, whether it be bullpen, whether it be another starter, whether it means another bat, that they're probably going to do something. But I also felt that way last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. But I'm with you. If there was the major move out there to make, this is the one. It's not. I'm not going to be upset if they get a Machado, but this is one that would make a lot of sense. And, you know, you have him for a year and a half. And that's pretty huge.
Now, I will say, I'm pulling it up. I will, you know, we will admit there is some significant home away splits. You know, this year OPS at home is 1.123. On the road, it's 838. But I wonder if you get adjusted to playing at sea level, how that changes. And two, I don't think they need him to be a 330 hitter. If he could be a 280 hitter with 25 homers and play the defense that he does, you know, that's perfectly fine. I think that's what this team could use. Put him and Ozuna, you know, in the middle of that lineup, and it could be something. But again, not likely to happen. It's kind of one of those things that you're right. It feels like that's the kind of big splash move we'd like to see instead of going out and getting, well, use this to transition here. I guess the good thing is they're probably not going to go out and get some reliever at the deadline, because right now they've got more than their fair share of relievers. The bullpen has kind of shaped up over the last week or two. Barring tonight's meltdown, which I guess is going to happen, but and they've got Matt Bowen and Luke Gregerson that are supposed to be coming out on rehab assignments pretty soon. I'm not sure where they're going to fit right now. I mean, who goes when either one of those guys is ready?
Yeah, well, if it's going to be one of the low-hanging fruit moves and they move Myers, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Because he's done nothing but show that he belongs right now. Bowman gets a free pass from going to Memphis, and I haven't figured out why just yet.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, that now, it kind of burns me up, the idea of Myers going back down, but it's probably going to happen just because of the options available. You know, you wonder if Gomber is maybe one of those names, but you're right. I mean, it's turning into there's just not enough spots for the names involved. I would be curious to see what they would get out of Gregerson. That's one that, but I'm also the guy that has said this from the beginning. I love the veterans in the bullpen because they just find ways to get guys out. I wish Brett Cecil would turn into that guy. but it's not that I'm totally anti-Cecil either, because I thought he's looked good for a while. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of parts for very few slots in the bullpen now, which up until tonight has looked pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, kind of looking, I know that Zach Gifford has not been high on Mike Myers, In fact, he's got an article up on the Birds on the Black trying to figure out exactly why he's striking out more batters than he used to be and not really finding anything. So maybe it's somewhat of a fluke, but yeah, he has pitched well. And you're right. I mean, in theory, Bowman could see some time in Memphis, but it doesn't seem to be the way things work.
Sure.
I mean, and Brebbia has been one of those guys that's been very, I mean, maybe it is Gomber. Maybe it's Gomber and Myers or Gomber and Brebbia. But, yeah, when you lose either Myers or Brebbia, who guys that – I'm not saying that either one of those guys are the ones you want with a game on the line, but they're the guys that you want in the sixth or seventh. And they're probably going to keep you in the game and or hold a lead for the most part. You know, Cecil has had his moments, and then he struggled tonight. You know, we saw Jordan Hicks struggle tonight. You know, Greg Holland has been a lot better than we expected. And pitched pretty well tonight, although he didn't give up the hit that scored a run. But, you know, it was interesting to see them finally start to bring Holland into a situation, and I guess maybe they have a little bit, but you know, he came in mid inning, he came in, the game was 3-0, I think, runners on. I don't know that we've seen him do that very much since he came back. And he, you know, it wasn't perfect, but he didn't do a bad job. I think that, I don't know, we're getting closer to that $14 million Greg Holland, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, he just looks like a different guy since returning. You never want to speak for, you know, money spent in those situations, but I think he's going to be a big part of the bullpen moving forward. I thought he looked very good. Yeah, even tonight to get out of the inning, I thought he looked I thought he looked great. So, the bullpen seems to be rounded into place. You know, I know it's tough to say even after tonight, but it does seem to be in a better shape now than it was. And some of the deals with Hicks is we may just start seeing a few chinks in the armor because he's thrown so much. Mm. You know, he's used just about every night when the game's close, and then the book will be out on what to lay off. You know, he's made one big adjustment with the slider already this year. He'll probably have to make it another tonight. Today just may be just one of those nights, and we never know because the Braves are a good team. The Braves don't strike out very often, and they really put the ball in play and put a lot of pressure on you, which really worried me about this series from the beginning. With the infield defense is as porous as it can be. You know, and we saw it. We saw a lot of good base running from the Braves after balls were thrown to the fence.
Yeah.
So the matchup may not be that favorable. I did think the Cardinals would have some more hits today, but the Braves are a good team, and I'm also tired of giving the other team starter credit every time the Cardinals are terrible. But back to it, the bullpen does seem to be rounding into a strength.
Yeah, I feel like it. Which, unfortunately, I mean, you still, again, it goes back to that frustration level. You see the bullpen is doing pretty well for the most part, but then you see the starting pitching struggle somewhat. You see the offense have some games. I mean, they scored 11 runs in a game that Corey Kluber scored. Corey Kluber started, and they have like 6 hits since then. I mean, yeah. I mean, what if you can't figure this? I mean, it's so hard to say you can't say this is a terrible offense because then they have those games or they have a stretch where they hit and you say, okay, this is what this lineup is supposed to look like. You know, Tommy Pham is 0 for 10 days basically, but he looked better tonight. I mean, 2 walks, the 2 balls he hit were pretty hard. Maybe he's coming around, which, you know, he was striking out like crazy. So even just to hit the ball is and draw some walks is not a bad thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he breaks out tomorrow and gets a hit or two. But, you know, you're having to play, you know, and Paul DeJong is about to come back. So maybe that's good. We'll see. We'll talk a little bit about that maybe in a minute. But,
sure.
You know, again, I don't, it would be nice to have a consistency. You would like to have that guy you could count on. And right now, you can pretty much count on Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter has played like Matt Carpenter can play, or even better, over the last month, month and a half now. So you feel like he's going to show up. I mean, he can't show up every night. That's just not baseball. But for the most part, you feel pretty confident that he's there. He's going to be okay. But after that, and probably Yachty, I guess, but how much can you, you know, how much do you want to put on Yachty's shoulders offensively?
Sure, yeah.
You know, Martinez has gone through, you know, he's been very good, and then he's gone through some slumps. I guess overall you probably could count on him. But it still feels like, you know, we could see some pretty good stuff out of Ozuna, but I don't know how much we still, you know, like you were talking before the show, how, you know, we had that opportunity on Wednesday night against the Indians and just wasn't able to do anything.
And he's baffling. I really like Ozuna, and I've talked about it on here, and I know that we've talked about it off the air quite a bit. And I do think he does some things as a cleanup guy that I like. I mean, just to make sure a run gets him every once in a while. But he does get antsy, and I do think there's times where he's not so concerned about just, I think he's trying to catch up with those home run numbers all in one swing sometimes. Like, he had two great at-bats, and then he had an at-bat, first and third, where they were still in the game, where he swung at the three worst pitches he'd seen all night. You know, one of those, and you're just like, well, that, it was such a momentum killer. So, you know, I'd like for them to maybe look at him as maybe in that three spot a little bit. I know that you and I talked about that at, you know, in a previous show, to maybe just to kind of kickstart him a little bit. But I just don't see him as being a big problem. I mean, like, he had a hit tonight to kind of spark what could have been a rally, which was snuffed out quickly. But you're right. I mean, there's still just not the guy that's just carrying the club right now. And I think that everybody expected that to be Ozuna. But when you look at him, his numbers are actually pretty good. The power numbers aren't where we thought they would be, but he's still a good hitter. He's still a professional hitter.
Yeah, I mean, again, so many people struggled so early that some of those guys came out of it. Carpenter came out of it, and Ozuna seems to come out of it. Dexter Fowler and Colton Wong have it, you know, and that's what it boils down to. I mean, that's why we're seeing a whole lot more Harrison Bader, even though Harrison Bader has struggled as well, offensively.
I was surprised to see that Fowler was not in the lineup tonight, and we can get to that, you know, later.
You know, but I think it just kind of boils down to that stuff of how much, what do you do? I mean, again, do you want to cut bait on Colton Wong? He's probably the best defensive guy, definitely in the infield, that you have, but how can you let him get out there hitting under 200? We talk about this all the time. Dexter doesn't even have defense to go for him. Felt like maybe he was coming out, or maybe starting to come around with that two double day on, what was it, Sunday? I think it was Sunday against the Brewers. But then just hasn't done a whole lot since then. It just kind of looked more of an aberration than a sign of a recurrence. So, but I don't know. I mean, I don't see any way you can get rid of Dexter Fowler without paying every single cent you owe him. And what's the point then?
Yeah. That's some guys you hate hearing that they just got to work themselves out of it. I mean, you're at the point of working your way out of it and losing a lot of ground. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a really tough situation with Fowler right now. And, you know, it's a really tough situation with their outfield altogether right now. You know, they have three of Fowler, Pham, and Bader have to play every night. You know, two of those three have to play every night. And none of the three are hitting right now, which really puts them in a tough spot.
Yeah, that is tough. I don't know what you do. Again, I don't know what you do because you can't. I just can't see them getting rid of Fowler, at all.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those to where the ramifications of doing it. It could be pretty ugly. And the fact that, yes, he's not hitting, and people see that, but you sign a guy for five and you move him after a year and a half, that's going to be tough to sell to future free agents.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what you're going to run into. And you're going to run into that a little bit anyway, just because
sure.
We've seen what happened. You know, Tara and I have gone into it especially a lot about the social media attacks on Dexter Fowler, whether it was, you know, adding him or not, just the discussion of him being lazy and not caring and not hustling and all that kind of stuff when, you know, I feel like he was doing the best he could. You know, I think Dexter Fowler's out there trying as much as he can. I think everybody's out there trying as much as they can. And I think it's pretty, you know, if they're not, I don't think it's our place to guess that, unless you can obviously tell. And most of these guys look like they're trying. So,
sure.
I think you give them the benefit of the doubt. When you look at that, and you look at, you know, the stuff that goes around that, it is. I mean, and St. Louis has already been a hard sell. You know, we saw that. They couldn't get David Price. They couldn't get Jason Hayward to come back, even after spending some time in St. Louis, which should have been a real tell. They've had, you know, obviously, I don't know that the city was as much of an issue for Giancarlo Stanton because it wasn't New York or it wasn't L.A., so that was really didn't matter where else it was. But, you know, they have some issues with that. And then you factor in some of the stuff with Fowler and people turning on him so quickly. And again, let's be fair, Fowler's given him plenty of ammunition. You know, if Fowler was hitting 260 like he was last year with 15 homers right now or 10 homers right now, then people would be a lot happier with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a difficult situation. And again, they're going to need, if we're talking about core players, if we're talking about impact players, especially offensively, they're going to have to come up with them through either a trade or free agency, because they're not growing them. There's not any hitters coming up that are going to be, you know, all-stars. Or, well, maybe, I mean, like I say, maybe DeYoung, if he's healthy next year, he's an all-star. Tommy Pham, Pham's a whole different issue. But there's nobody coming up through the ranks, I don't think, that is looking to be, I'm not even going to say the next Pujols, but, you know, even the next Matt Carpenter, I don't think we see in the minor leagues. We see some guys that could contribute. We see some guys that could be pretty good here sometime soon. But, you know, unless Nolan Gorman, you know, their first-round draft pick, develops like a first-round draft pick, but even then, that's, what, 3-4 years away before he can make an impact in St. Louis? So,
yeah.
They're going to have to go out and get somebody not, you know, that's not in the organization. And so they're going to have to probably just overpay to get them in here because, you know, they don't, you know, the reputation's been taking a hit, I'm sure, from everything that's gone on.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you're right. There's not a lot of, you know, can't miss or pushing their way through the system, bats, in, you know, right now. And, you know, they've done a great job of developing pitching. I mean, that goes without question. And, they have not done such a great job of developing, you know, everyday bats. You know, these situations where you see an Acuna, and you just see some of the young bats that are out there now, and maybe even, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 year in guys, and it just makes you, I hate to bring it up, I mean, it just makes you think what could have been with Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like they've never really recovered.
Yeah, but you know, we say that, and you're right, and we don't know. It probably would have been that good, but, you know, we have had some guys come up through the ranks and not ever really fully be that player we thought they were going to be, you know?
Sure. That seems to happen to the Cardinals a lot, you know, in recent memory, yeah. Really.
Because, I mean, just look at Colton Wong. I mean, we thought Colton Wong coming up was going to be a 300 hitter with occasional power, and probably a good glove. And, you know, I think last year what you saw out of Colton Wong was about, you know, kind of close to what we really thought we'd get. He might be a little bit stepped down from what he was, what they thought when he's come up to the minors. But then it's just awful. It was, we did expect last year to be a career year, but it's starting to look like it was. And I don't know, again, where do you cut off, you know, where do you cut bait there? Is it time to trade him for a change of scenery? I kind of hate that because I like Colton Wong. I'd like to see him develop here, but, you know, again, if you can't hit, how much, you know, you've got to have everybody else hit to carry your glove. And so far, that's not happening.
No, yeah, I agree. And that's, I know that we, I don't know how much further we were going to get into the trade to talk or if we're going to kind of just rally back to it. But that's another thing that I kind of wonder about. And I remember saying the same thing last year to where, you know, there's some big pitching names on the market right now. And, let's just say you go and get a DeGrom. And in our group chat, I threw this out the other day. I said, well, how much better would you be? Would you be significantly better if you went and got DeGrom and played Wong and Bader every day? You know, just played your best. If you turned this into a situation to where you were saving runs as opposed to scoring them, would you be a lot better? And I think that if you were to go that route, it has to be a Wong type situation. Mm. But it's still, I mean, ours is, are you just jumping from the frying pan into the fire type deal?
Right.
Do you actually improve? I don't know. You know what I mean? And there may be numbers out there to prove it. I'm not good at finding those. But I just wondered if that would be a situation. And that's where, you know, Wong would thrive. And I think that if in a situation to where he wasn't, the magnifying glass wasn't on him so much for an offensive presence because the other hitters aren't hitting up to par. You know, he's in a tough spot to where he's their best defensive player but can't play because the other guys aren't hitting.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we've always said about Wong, and kind of felt like that's what it kind of proved it last year. You leave him alone, let him play, and don't ask too much of him, and he'll give you a lot more than that. He can relax and play. But, you know, he pretty much had that this year, although I think, was it this spring training that there was at least that thought of Jerko and him platooning? I can't remember if that was this year or last year. They came out in spring training, and then we kind of went by the wayside, but I feel like he should have been, you know, pretty confident going into this year, and, you know, that hasn't developed. So, I don't know. And your scenario was pretty interesting. I mean, do you go completely for run prevention instead of trying to maybe somehow split the difference between being a hitting team and being a pitching and defense team? But that said, they got to score.
Sure.
I mean, you can't win any game 0-1. You know, you gotta, I don't know. Can they put enough runs together with Wong out there every day and Bader, although again, Bader's doing better than Dexter, so maybe that doesn't matter, but, I don't know. I think that's an interesting point. I don't think we have to worry about it, but, you know, because it would be very strange to see them double down on pitching. But they might. I mean, because, again, you got to win them somehow. And it doesn't do you any good to score 10 runs if you're going to give up 11.
Sure. Sure, that's it. And we've seen them do this before to where they improve a strength and not a weakness to try to make the team better. You know, that's what kind of made me think about that. I was like, you know, they could probably afford to get another starter right now. But I say that, but I'm a big, I'm really, really glad that Gant's getting the chance to do what he's doing. But, you know, that's still no DeGrom. So yeah, you're right. I mean, where they go with the deadline is going to be pretty interesting. And I say that as in, it could be not interesting at all, but interesting to see the reaction when they don't do anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there'll be a lot of, a lot of meltdown if nothing happens this year. Doesn't matter. And again, you gotta feel like they gotta do something, if nothing else, to do the John Lackey type trade where it gets people's attention.
Exactly. And you know what? And you know, we've talked about this a little bit, and I've talked about it with Adam and some of the other guys on the group chat. I don't think there's any situation next year where you have Martinez, Jericho, Carpenter, and Wong all on the same roster, and definitely not in the same infield, because of course you're going to have DeJong playing short. If that's the case, and you know that's probably going to be the case because DeJong had signed the term here, they bought out his arbitration years, he's your starting shortstop, or he's going to be on the starting left side somewhere for a long time. So that leaves four names that you just can't see all four of them coming back. Why not clear up some of that now? You know, that's good. Why not start now on some of that, on the purging of some of those names? And you may very well be correct on selling high on Martinez. Mm-hmm. Fowler's contract, and I like Dexter. I know we're all talking here just because guys are struggling in ways that this may go. The idea that Martinez in right field has just been deadpanned is amazing to me, because what you can hear guys talk about how terrible he'd be in the outfield, it sure as heck gets more exposed him being terrible at first base.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me. I can't believe I'm kind of dancing around it, but Fowler's contract may be one of the reasons that that's not happening now. You know, they've got to get Fowler ready, he can't be, even if he were a worse right fielder than he was first baseman, it's nowhere near as exposed as it is when he's at first base.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd think that there's going to have to be movement with the four of those guys, and I just don't understand why you don't start now. Now, there will probably, you know, Blogger Day were tomorrow, I could probably get a really good explanation from Mo why they don't. But from the outside looking in, you would think that this would be a great situation to start purging and to start moving some of these pieces around that I just can't see all being together next year.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, it really feels like let's do this. Let's, you know, there's no particular reason not to do this. But I mean, it's not like you've got this team that's just cruising along, and that trying to clear up some of this mess for next year might mess with the chemistry or might mess with what's going on this year. You got a team that's, you know, it's playing better than it did last year. It's still in the playoff race, but it's not taking control of it. And again, if we're watching them win two and lose two, and then, you know, have a good week followed by a bad week, you still got to keep feeling like as well as they can play against good competition, and they played very well against, for the most part, against people like the Cubs and the Phillies and the Brewers and the Indians and the, I mean, they played well tonight until the last innings against the Braves. They've been in a lot of these games, so you feel like they've got the talent level to play at a first place team level. You just don't have the consistency to do it. And you know, so, you know, if you wanted to mess with this team, you know, at worst, they started, you know, you make some moves. If they don't work out, the team misses the playoffs. Well, right now, you know, they were up to like 46% making the playoffs. I think the odds were 46% of them making the playoffs after their two wins against the Indians. So after these last two losses, I'm sure it's down to back in the 30s right now. And then, again, we're not saying that you write the season off. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that if you want to make your moves, because if something happens, fine and good. You know, if they don't make the playoffs right now, chances aren't they aren't going to make them anyway. So it's not like you're just destroying the team. Go out and do something.
Exactly. I realize they're probably going to have to pay someone to take some of Wong's contract. You're probably going to have to get creative on Jericho's because there's money coming from San Diego. But you're right. I mean, why not? I thought that Gersh's comments today in the pregame were telling on something too. He said that we'd be willing to take a flyer on the right guy as a rental, which they had stayed away from. That may just be his wording and not Mo, because Mo always said that's just a situation we would never get into. Where I've always said they need to step out of the comfort zone a little bit to improve. Well, why not? If you're going to move, say, I say Wong just because we know that he's under contract and we know that Jericho is too. So I'm just throwing those guys out right away. But you may have to pay some money to do that. But if you do bring in, just say Moustakas, just because that's the low-hanging fruit, that's the name out there, well, that's the only obligation you have with him. You know, that ends at the end of the year unless he knocks the cover off the ball and wants to stay in Missouri. You know what I mean? And that's, and you can work something out. But that benefits you. If he hits well enough that he warrants a conversation of staying in St. Louis, that has benefited you. And the only thing that you're doing is you're dealing with sunk costs and whatever player you moved. And Mo is actually pretty good about getting some of those contracts off the books. Leak, I thought it cost them money to get rid of Leak last year, and it was beneficial. You get O'Neal back. You know, that's a power bat that they're going to try to develop, and that's going to be a situation where you now have 3 to 4 to 5 years of the Grando Grichuk type player, other than the expiring arbitration number that you had with Grichuk last year. So you basically just restarted that clock. So you can get creative on how they do these things. It's just baffling to me that they've made some of these moves that were so good that I don't know if the league's caught up with them and they just don't see it as beneficial in the way that they want to do it, that they've stood pat. And that may be part of it. But I think that there's stuff out there, the way that they can kind of clear this up, that we're not seeing, or they're not seeing it either, and that's why they're not doing it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, but long way around that is, you think that there can be some cut losses on this, and it could be more helpful than harmful.
Yeah, I do. I got to correct you though. That the Leak trade was just
That's right.
It's the Gonzalez trade that brought in O'Neal.
Yeah, that's right. And that was right at either at the deadline last year or because Leak was the waiver wire deal. Okay, right. I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Leak brought back Radar Assanio, who I guess we should ask Kyle about, because I don't know anything about him. I don't know what he's doing. He may not even be with the organization anymore, for all I know. But I'll try to ask Kyle some point in time and see. I know we have a question from Uncle Frank on Twitter asking us what trade we would make tomorrow if tomorrow was a trade deadline. And some of that I think we've done. I mean, if you had to get somebody, who would it be?
Oh man, after we talked about it, I would do Arenado over almost any player. And I said that, last year when, I think the two of us had Kyle on one time and we were kind of just teasing about the prospect of something like that happening because we never thought it would even come to fruition, you know, that the possibility would be out there. That would be one of them. If we're talking about fantasy numbers, I would go get Scherzer. You know, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, because I just think he's as good as it gets.
Frank
the names
to be a little bit more. I assume he was realistic because with the Nationals in the hunt. And everything.
Oh, the way that you worded it. The way that you worded it, I thought it would any player that you wanted.
Be.
Okay, I agree. If there's any chance you could get an Arenado, I think that you have to kick the tires on that. You have to do what you can. On the pitching side, if it's honestly guys that are rumored right now, I DeGrom would be at the top of my list.
You think DeGrom over Syndergaard?
Oh yeah, I would. And I may be completely wrong on that, but I'm a big DeGrom fan. I think he gets overshadowed by Syndergaard, but I think that DeGrom's a real deal.
Could be. Either one of those would obviously do well, but again, for what you have to give up, does that make your team? I mean, to me, and I get what you're saying, and I think it could. I'm not arguing.
Well,
here's
my argument for DeGrom. I'm not so sure you have to give away anything that's on your big league roster right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of my play on that. If they're willing to look at moving both of those, that's going to turn into a rebuild real fast.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just don't get. I mean, I do kind of, but some of these guys that they talk about, you know, like DeGrom. I mean, what's his contract runs through? Well, he's not even arbitration eligible yet. I mean, he's just about to hit arbitration. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this is the kind of guy. I mean, granted, his he's already got. He's making money, so his arbitration. I mean, he's signed a contract already. His arbitration numbers are going to be higher, whatever. But still, it feels like these are the kind of guys you've got them for a while. You've got them under some sort of control, even if their salaries are going to start to creep up. But you know, DeGrom's making 7.4 this year.
Yeah,
DeGrom's also 30. I didn't realize he was quite that old. You know, that's not bad for a guy that's, you know, one of the better pitchers in the league.
Sure.
It's mind-boggling to me that these teams are getting rid of these guys, or at least talking about getting rid of these guys. And I know you may get four or five prospects back, but you also may only get one that's worth anything, if sure. that. You know, I realize that it's like, well, what's the point of holding on to them for 2 or 3 years if your team's not going to be any good? But still, you know, I feel like sometimes people are, you know, just so ready to turn around and get rid of things. And I'm like, you know, this is the kind of guy you should try to build around, you would think.
Well, and that could lead to a bigger problem of you're either good or you're rebuilding.
Right.
You know.
And that's kind of what we're seeing in baseball now, you know. And that's kind of why the Cardinals are such a bad shape, because they're one of those few teams right in the middle that are, they've never had to rebuild, and never from the ground up, but they're not necessarily, they don't have the talent to be one of those, you know, they're not the 2004 team, they're not the 2012 team even. That talent has started to ebb away, and the other teams have gotten better. And so they're kind of, they hit that mediocre, I don't want to say mediocre because they're a little better than that, but the lukewarm type of thing where they can't really gain that traction and can't really put some wins together, but they're not so bad that they're starting to sell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you want to see winning baseball, if you like to have them win more often than they lose, this is good. But if you're kind of World Series or bust, you kind of want them to, you know, maybe take a step back so they can retrench or something of that nature. And I don't know. I think they're just kind of getting caught in that middle.
Yeah, it was a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I could do Arenado for, and again, I'm terrible at making trades, so I don't even want to know who would be going back. You got to figure Flaherty would have to go. I would normally say Reyes, but if Reyes hurt again, I don't, you know, Reyes is, even if you could trade him, I think Reyes's stock is well down. But if you could do it without Flaherty, if you could do it with Hudson and, Helsley and I don't know who else, two or three other guys, you know. Of course, I know Helsley is on the DL right now and it's got some issues there, but, if you could do it for those guys, sure, but I don't think you could. So, anything else on the trade market that you want to talk about?
I'm sure we'll probably have a lot to talk about here in the you know, next few weeks. So,
probably so. I do should mention that the Cardinals claimed a left-handed reliever named of Tyler Webb from the Padres today. They, I believe they moved. Did they move Sheriff or Reyes to the 60-day? I think it was Reyes to the 60-day to make room for him. Webb will go to Memphis at least to start with. But it's interesting that they're claiming a lefty. I wonder what it means for Tyler Lyons, because that's, you know, we've got to have that kind of focus. But also, you know, he's starting to rehab back, but obviously Tyler Lyons hasn't been what we expected to see this year for various reasons. I don't know, you know, I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. But you also have been using, they've been using Austin Gomber in that role, and I don't know that that's really great for Austin Gomber.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw him come in tonight, hit a batter that forced in a run. We've seen him struggle a little bit at times lately. You know, and I think he's got more value as a starter. But I wonder if that means that there's some interest in Gomber. You know, if we kind of tie again back to there. It's very interesting that they're picking up left-handed depth, I think, at this point in time.
Yeah. I kind of, the way that I took it whenever I saw that, that they had claimed him was more of a, they're just going to keep grabbing until they find the right combination on this. But I didn't think about the Gomber aspect and possibly being mentioned, you know, out and about. So that's pretty interesting. Any move nowadays points to about 100 different things, you know, and that's the beauty of this season as well. So I honestly never thought Gomber would make it up. You know, it was one of those to where I always thought that he would be playing for another organization, for better or worse. Yeah. And I thought the same thing with Bader, but you know, I was completely wrong on both of those. But any move, it would not surprise me.
Yeah, it looks like this Webb pitched it pretty well at AAA this year, but of course he's only got 5 innings in the big leagues, and this year at least. He had a few innings last year, but this year he gave up 5. He's given up 7 runs in 5 innings, so that's not good. I'm trying to look and see. Lefty's hitting pretty hard this year, 4-for-11 instead of 2-for-10 for righty, so that doesn't help any. Again, small sample size, and I don't know what he's trying to. Let me look at the game log, see who he's actually pitched against this year. He threw .1 of an inning against the Dodgers. That's where 3 of the runs came in, and then he's pitched against the Dodgers. That's it. He has 4 games this year. He pitched on April 17th and 18th against the Dodgers. The first time he pitched 3 innings, or a third of an inning, gave up 3 runs. Second time he pitched 3 innings, gave up no runs the next day. So I guess they wore him out the first day. then he pitched against them on the 26th or 27th of May and did the opposite. He pitched two-thirds scoreless the first time, and then he pitched an inning and gave up 4 runs the second time. So that's... And one, interesting that he's just continually faced the Dodgers, and I don't know, it's a pretty decent offense. But also, interesting that at least the Padres didn't look at him as a lefty specialist. And he pitched, like I said, he pitched 3 innings in this game against the Dodgers, which they were getting blown out, so that's why he pitched so many. But obviously he's got a little bit of length on him, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's it's... Be interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah. You know, and it may not be anything, but it is interesting that they claimed him. Of course, I guess if he had cleared waivers, then he'd have just gone into the Padres minor league system, where they probably were just getting him off the 40 man. Although I don't know what the situation was out there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they claimed him, put him on the roster. Of course, you know, we saw Preston Gamay kind of proves that you don't have to sell a 40 man very long. So we'll keep it on. See what he does. Yeah. See what he does in Memphis, and cause I'm sure he'll get a few games down there before they. And I mean, again, we've talked about this. You know, even with 2 other guys coming back, they're going to get to the point pretty soon that they're not arms to be able to send down. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be kind of stuck without a trade. Because if Gregerson and Gomber come back, I mean, Gregerson and, who was we talking about earlier? Bowman. You know, if they come back and then you send down, even if you send down Brebbia and Gomber then, well, then you got Lyons coming back soon, so then maybe that's Myers, and then what do, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you send down Bowman, you really got to get stuck there, so.
Yeah, there may be movement just out of necessity. Yeah, because they're not gonna have enough spots.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. So, anyway, that was just kind of an interesting thing there. So, Anything else you want to talk about? We've run about an hour tonight, but
that sounds good to me. Yeah, it was good to get everything off my chest. I feel better now, especially it's been 2 weeks of being cooped up.
That's right. You had to get going. So, all right. Well, Al and I should be back with you next week. See no reason why we won't be after the 4th of July as we're getting closer to the All-Star break. All-Star games break a little bit later in the year this year. But we should still be able to get at least one and maybe two shows in. We'll have to see before the All-Star break. So I appreciate you joining us tonight, and we'll talk to you next time. So for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Sutter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!